I'm Michael Sampson from Christchurch, and it's great to be here in Auckland. Now, given that we're talking about superheroes, I did go to Stirling Sports down in Christchurch and look at a Captain America t-shirt to wear today. You know, the shield right in the middle, blue shirt and all that. There are a couple of reasons that I didn't buy it. One was it was $90, and I didn't think that I would wear it beyond today. And secondly, I don't really have the physique like Steven Rogers does. Now, looking out at many of you, you would wear it perfectly, but I couldn't really afford to buy a shirt for all of you fantastically toned people, so instead I've spent my cash on prizes. There are 6 prizes up here and 9 books down here to give away during the time, so if you go to sleep, you're going to miss out. Okay, so transitioning to Office 365, becoming the adoption superhero for your firm. 3 things that I want to talk about in our time together this morning. First of all, what's happening with Office 365 around the world? When we look at what's going on, what the momentum is, what's happening, what's going on? And as part of that, what needs to happen to make Office 365 successful in an organization? Secondly, in light of what we talk about in terms of what is going on, from an adoption point of view, what is it that we need to do inside our firms in order to make Office 365 work, make Office 365 a success? And then third and finally, I want to conclude with the next steps, call to action, becoming an adoption superhero for your organization. So let's begin with what's happening with Office 365. A couple of opening statements. First of all, in looking at what's going on in the world, my analysis is that the early momentum is all around invisible changes. Back in June of last year at Ignite in America, did anyone go to that event? I have my hand up, but I didn't go either. Okay, so we're all in the same boat. Awesome. There was this slide here shown around momentum with Office 365. 70% of Fortune 500 companies have purchased something of it. $4.4 billion annual revenue run rate. Office 365 is Microsoft's fastest growing commercial product ever. In the research for the most recent book that I wrote around reimagining productive work with Office 365, I gathered all the statistics that I could find from Microsoft and from others around what's happened with Office 365 over recent 18 months or so on. So back in February of last year, Microsoft said they had commercial monthly active users of 30 million. By November, that had doubled to 60 million, and in the most recent filing in America at the end of September, the number had grown to 85 million people. So tremendous, tremendous growth from a commercial point of view, for commercial monthly active users. And consumer subscribers also has been growing, not quite at the same rate, but from 18 million in November of last year, so just about a year ago, through to the end of September at 24 million. One of the non-Microsoft research studies that was commissioned and then published in January of this year, so 10 months out of date at this point, said that most of that momentum was around Exchange Online. Let's lift up your Exchange on premises, pump it into the cloud, use Exchange Online, but kind of ignore everything else. So in light of those numbers, one conclusion that we can draw, therefore, is that the early momentum is for these easy things that we currently do. Exchange Online, and for many organizations, also the way that they license, provision, roll out, and update the Office Productivity Suite. So this enables things that are cheaper and easier for IT. There's no problem with that. But there's little or no impact on user behavior. Because ideally, if you do an Exchange migration to Exchange Online perfectly, no one notices. Apart from having a 50 gigabyte, 50 gigabyte mailbox when you come in to the office the next day, but ideally, no one notices that it's changed. However, what we have in Office 365 is all of these other capabilities, substantial capabilities that provide tremendous opportunities for reimagining the way that work gets done, for introducing efficiencies, for enabling operational improvement and excellence and so on. And these are the capabilities that offer transformation, but these are the capabilities that many organizations have not yet begun to pursue with great intensity. And these are the capabilities that require a moderate to significant impact on user behavior in order to take advantage of SharePoint, of Yammer, of Office 365 groups, of Delve, of Power BI, and so on. There's quite a transformation required in the way that people work by themselves and people work in teams and groups across the organization. So that's the first comment that I'd make about what's going on with Office 365 today. The second is that organizational readiness for Office 365 is essential. Back in 2008, McKinsey did some research around enterprise 2.0 tools, web 2.0 tools in the organization, blogs, wikis, that sort of stuff. And this graph has always captured my, yes, you got that right. Because if you look at it, option number two, the IT department finds and tests new technologies and then brings them to business units. That option there, IT department leads, options 1, 3, 4, 5, and 6, all have greater degrees of business involvement. What's fascinating is that for this option two, the IT department finds and tests, the level of satisfaction, which is the dark purple, is the lowest. And the level of dissatisfaction with the approach is the highest. So in the other five instances where there's greater business involvement in finding tools, exploring how they could be used, bringing them into the way that people work, there's higher satisfaction and lower dissatisfaction where the business is intimately involved. In some research out of AIM this year, published a couple of months ago, one of the charts in there was, why does SharePoint fail? And it's not because you didn't install it correctly or get your search scopes done wrong or your distributed cache stuff not working. Not at all. It's all about organizational things. The most significant issue was inadequate user training. The second most significant issue was users never really liked it or found it hard to use. The third most significant issue was that senior managers didn't enforce or endorse its use inside your organization. It's got nothing to do with SharePoint per se. It's about organizational readiness and what's happening. This is a chart that I've used a couple of times in some of the workshops that I run. You know, we've got this orange box of Office 365. Yes, this is fantastic, but there's all these other things that surround and enable and underpin the effective use of Office 365 in an organization. The third thing that I'd say about looking at what's going on with Office 365 in the world is that the way that we approach it needs to be done in a particular way in order to solve the adoption challenge. This book here, Collaboration Roadmap, which is the fourth book that I wrote, talks about a roadmap to success with collaboration tools. Really understand the technology. What are the opportunities that it conveys, confers on an organization to rethink the way that work gets done? The O, outline the vision. What is it that you're seeking to achieve or attain inside your firm as a consequence of embracing new tools? The A, accept that technology is a small factor in success. The M, haven't had enough coffee. The D, determine your governance approach. What are the policies, procedures, guidelines, structures that you put around the use of whatever tool that you're wanting to use. The M, make every effort to engage the business, thinking back to that McKinsey chart. The A, apply intentional energy to adoption. And the P, pursue increasing value. So if we've got an adoption problem at the A, then we may not be able to solve it at the level of A. We may have to go back to the M, make every effort to engage the business. Perhaps we haven't done that work. Perhaps we haven't done it properly. Maybe we haven't understood what the real need is of the teams and groups and departments that we're working with. Or we need to go back to the first A, accept that technology is a small factor in success. If the dominant paradigm or mindset is that we just need to choose the best tool, make it available, and all will be great, then that's a mindset or a philosophy that is probably undermining your efforts to make adoption work in the second A. Or perhaps even write the way back to the O, outline the vision. Maybe there hasn't been any clarity around why this is important. In talking about SharePoint 2016 and Office 365, someone called Randy, I think his last name begins with W, that's all I could determine from the internet, who works at AvPoint, says, it's easy to get excited about the technology improvements, but what matters most is making a difference in the lives of the information workers we serve. Back in the mid-90s, Lipnack and Stamps, who ran a firm called NetAge out of Boston, Massachusetts, did some studies around virtual teams and what it takes to make virtual teams work. And one of the conclusions they came to was that it's 90% people, 10% technology. In other words, the product and the features that you choose are important. It's important to get that right. But in terms of the contribution to success, it's only about 10% of the equation, because all of the people stuff, the business driver, the team culture, the level of interpersonal trust that there is between the team members, all of those play a much more significant role in the success of virtual teams as the tool that you choose. In the mid-2000s, someone working at AT&T painted the difference between avoiding failure in Enterprise 2.0 initiatives and chasing success. And the conclusion was that if all you want to do is avoid failure, then you just need good applications and good infrastructure, responsive applications. If you can deliver that, you can avoid failure. No one's going to tell you that you've failed if you're able to deliver that. But if you want to chase success, that pulls into question, that pulls into need a whole series of other activities that surround and enable that infrastructure and those applications to be used effectively and productively in organizational life. Things like client support, business acceptance, the way you do engagement, the way you do training, the communities of practice that you offer. The academics used to say that you spend money and great stuff happens. Woo! That's all you have to do. But actually, when they left their ivory towers and went and tested it in the real world, unfortunately, there was this idea that when you spend money, depending on the assets that you create, and depending on the impacts that you then realize from those assets in organizational life, that's what links you through to increased performance. Sue Hanley and her co-authors in that big purple book on SharePoint 2013 governance talk about this as the strategy for success with SharePoint. And again, it's not about search scopes and managed metadata and getting all of that technical stuff right. It's all of the business enablement things. What are the business objectives? Which capabilities are relevant? What kinds of roles and responsibilities do you need? And then if we go right back to 1996, I was alive then, and I think some of you might have just still been in school at that point. In 1996, there was this idea: groupware will not mysteriously transform organizations from collections of highly competitive loners to well-integrated cooperative groups of collaborators. Without careful planning for its introduction and the changes that this will entail, the impact of groupware will likely be quite limited. Successful groupware implementation will require both a careful assessment of the fit of the technology to the organization and a well-designed training program to introduce this new technology and its potential to organizational members. That was written 20 years ago, and if we do some creative edits of that and make it relevant for 2016, what I just read out with using the word Office 365 instead of groupware is still entirely accurate. We've talked about what's happening with Office 365 and some of the things that we need to do to make it work inside our organizations. In the second part of our time together this morning, I want to switch gears now and talk about what is it that we need to do to make this work, what needs to happen in our organizations. And what I'm going to argue is that we need some adoption superheroes. Now, apart from the fact that this person hasn't got his tie right because it doesn't just quite sit on the top of his belt, he is apparently an adoption superhero. So my question for you, with some prizes up for grabs, is in thinking about superheroes, what are the common characteristics that we see across the Captain Americas, the Batmans, the Supermans, those sort of things? What, say again?
Leading.
What do you mean by that? Okay, thank you. They lead the group, they take the brave step forward. Can you get out and get a book, or do you just want to get one later? You get one later. Okay, you're allowed a book. Yes. They know what they talk about, they're influential. They're good at what they do, okay? Okay, all right. So if you can get out, you can have a book now, or you can get one later. So I'm going to go down the back. Right, sir. They don't doubt their vision, okay? Although in Civil War there was some queries about vision, wasn't there? Not quite sure how that played out, but I guess each of them had a belief, even though there was division in the group that was historically united, there was quite a split. Yes, yes.
Determined.
Say again?
They're determined,
okay, all right. And one more, the lady behind you. Okay. Keep going. All right. Okay, so the five of you that spoke, you can choose one of the books down here, which should leave me with four for later on. Okay. Let's see what ones I thought were relevant. Not necessarily that they're right, but they're the ones that I've got for today. So the first thing that I would say is that an adoption superhero has a mission, which I guess comes into the determination and the leadership and the vision as well. So the mission of a superhero from an adoption point of view in the Office 365 context then is to drive effective use of Office 365. How do we take the capabilities that we have on offer in this suite and bring them to organizational members in a way that enables them to do great things in their work? A couple of assertions. Given the ease of signing up to Office 365, if organizations fail to get value, they will actively churn the service. And secondly, although the challenge has always been of getting people to the point of effective use, now it is the critical competency for organizations, business partners, and Microsoft. If you spend some hundreds of thousands of dollars and 6 to 12 months deploying SharePoint on premises, and it doesn't work for you, you're not going to throw it out very quickly. But if you're just paying on a month-by-month basis for Office 365 and it doesn't work out for you, you have the opportunity to say, no more. And that's not good for multiple people in the room. So what does effective use look like? What does this idea of effective use look like? I think there's four parts to this. First of all, that there is a valued outcome. Someone gets something of value as a consequence of using one of the tools. Secondly, that there are productive behaviors that are aligned with the use of those capabilities. Third, that there's an efficient process. The way the process is designed is efficient. The steps of the process that don't add value are engineered out, are removed, are minimized, are automated, so that people can make the contribution that they can make aligned with their competencies, skills, and abilities. And fourth, that you use the best tool available to you within the Office 365 suite. So for example, if the valued outcome is keeping employees informed of new happenings across the organization, your productive behaviors could look something like this: clear and concise communication of facts and details, plus the ability for people to seek clarification or give feedback to what's been said. The efficient process: communicators can write or create or record the update and get feedback from co-creators within that same tool, within context. They're not needing to move out to something else in order to ask for feedback. They've got a way directly within the tool that they're using of working with others, of collaborating, of sharing ideas. Employees get alerted on new updates and have some way of responding. And then it's a matter of choosing the tool. Perhaps in your organization, it's a SharePoint announcement with an alert. Perhaps in your organization, a Yammer announcement on the all-company channel would be the most productive and effective way of doing that. Or if you're using Office 365 video and you have some capabilities for recording material and doing the edits really cool so it looks fantastic, then a video published up to Office 365 video would be the most effective way of doing that. Now, in order to achieve the mission of getting to the point of effective use, there are some precursors to that. One of the precursors is creating the context for achieving value with Office 365. And I showed you this slide a little bit earlier, some of the issues that will need to be worked through, talked through, analyzed, strategies made, so on and so forth. How do we get executive support? What's the vision? How does the use of this align with our culture or move our culture forward? How do we do engagement with the business? One of the other precursors is around making the right decision. There are pros and cons with moving to Office 365, and you will need to weigh the cons, evaluate the pros, and think about what mitigations you will require from a technology level, an IT level, if there are cons around Office 365 that you're not happy with for your environment. And then the very first part in the process that I talk about is understanding the opportunity. Looking at the scenarios, the collaboration opportunities that you have in your organization, the situations where the capabilities of Office 365 could add tremendous value to you and to the business. So a mission is required. The mission of an adoption superhero is to drive effective use of Office 365 in your organization. The second characteristic of an adoption superhero is some special capabilities. And what I'm going to suggest to you is that in the context of an adoption superhero for Office 365, the special capability is an adoption framework and a series of strategies that you can use to make this stuff work at an organizational level in your firm. This is the adoption framework that I talk about in my workshop, Driving Effective Use of Office 365. What's the surrounding context? What are the drivers for effective use? How do we develop usage competence? How do we get someone to effective use? And then how do we extend effective use across the organization? And within each of these stages, there are some strategies that we can use. So, for example, these are four of the ones in Drivers for Effective Use. We have it enables a business strategy. It's core to a business process. There's an executive mandate or there's an in-group social expectation. So, for example, an agricultural firm has a strategy. This is a real firm, but I just can't tell you who it is. An agricultural firm has a strategy of international expansion through acquisition. That is the strategy of the business. How we want to grow, how we want to give new opportunities to our employees, how we want to deliver value back to our stakeholders and shareholders. And so for them, one of the requirements to enable this business strategy is the ability to roll out a consistent process across newly acquired organizations, wherever they are in the world, and apply operational blueprints to the way that things get done. We've bought you, we acknowledge that you've done things in a particular way historically, this is the new way we are going to work. And so for this agricultural firm, SharePoint and workflow have become a key enabler of a business strategy in order to deliver on this idea. Executive mandate is a second strategy that we could use in this first area of drivers for effective use. Now, clearly, an executive has a role in allocating budget and looking at the business case, probably the other way around, right? In saying that this is a good idea. There's words, there's signatures on checks or however you do things these days. But there's also the ability or the opportunity for an executive to model the behaviours that he or she wants to see others in the organisation do. A few years ago, I was running an adoption strategies workshop in Australia, and someone in the room said, we've recently introduced a new reporting system in our organisation, and our executives have said to their direct reports, I will not read any, I shouldn't really say direct reports because now it's going to confuse with reports in the reporting system, to their staff members, they've said to their staff members, we aren't going to read any reports unless it's in the reporting system. And so immediately you have the expectation set by a manager, by an executive, that this thing is real in organizational life. There's a similar example, although I don't have a slide for it, of an organization that introduced a CRM system, probably Dynamics. I don't think there are any others. And previously, the way that the pipeline was presented, the way that managers and executives were informed of what was coming up, is that a presentation would be written in PowerPoint, it would then be given to the managers or executives in a weekly meeting, and life would roll on. With the introduction of the CRM, this was said. Don't bother about a PowerPoint presentation anymore. Show us directly inside Dynamics. Just put it up on the screen and show us where you're at. And so again, the executive or the management support in the organization is used as a strategy for making this real in organizational life. The second part of the adoption framework is around developing usage competence. And here are some of the strategies that we have available in that. Classroom training, self-study materials, one-to-one coaching, group study materials. In Europe a few years ago, someone talked about how they were making use of Yammer to provide support for how to use Yammer or how to use the other tools in the Office 365 suite that had been made available to the organization. And so what the IT team had done was say at 4 o'clock every Friday, we will have an open chat in Yammer. If you have any questions, any queries, you need any help around how to use Yammer or any of the other tools that we have, turn up at 4 o'clock, We'll staff the channel and we'll give you feedback. We'll give you answers. If necessary, we'll escalate through to a Skype for Business call. We'll do screen sharing. We'll show you how to do this. But we will be available every week at 4 o'clock to help you with this. Classroom training is another strategy that we have available to us in developing usage competence. A pharmaceuticals firm took this approach. They ran 2 half-day classroom sessions with SharePoint site owners to teach skills, to enable people in the room to make connections with other site owners in that area, to talk about the options and opportunities that were there for local support. And the tool that they were focused on was SharePoint. Now, they chose the site owners because the site owner was the pivot in the life of that group. If you can get a site owner doing stuff well, if you can get a site owner who's able to use their site appropriately and model that behavior and expect those behaviors from others in the group, that is a very useful way of getting adoption and driving effective use. In the stage called effective use, there are a number of strategies. Four of them are here: making it core to work, embedded champions, community managers, and removing alternatives. In terms of making it core to work, a high security firm who's so high security that I'm not allowed to tell you what part of the world they come from, and they're also so high security that they could not link two systems together at a system level. So they were introducing this new system, and they built this new system for giving intelligence out to the field, but they had 7 years worth of data in an old system. Now, for some reason, they were so high security, you couldn't just connect the two together and go pump the stuff across. And so they had to do this. Friday night, a group of guys, and it was all guys, turn up at the office. Somebody stands at the old system, brings up a record, prints it out. Someone here picks up the print out, walks it across to the new system, and types it in. For the whole weekend, they do this. Now, there were some fun things that they did. You know, they gave up a weekend to do it, and they agreed that he who migrates the most material will get 3 days off. He who migrates the least material will get no days off. There's a little bit of friendly competition going on here. They organized some videos for Saturday night. They brought their sleeping bags and camped out at the office. Saturday night came round. It's time for dinner. Let's get pizza ordered. So they pick the phone up, they dial the pizza, and they wait. And they wait. And they wait. And then someone says, "Where's the pizza?" And they, "You go and find where the pizza guy is." And so they walk out of the building, and there in the car park, they find a security guard standing over the pizza delivery guy. "Why are you here? There is no one working this weekend. You should not have an order for pizza." "Oh, it's all right, it's for us." If you're not that high security, you probably don't need to do what they did. But what it meant for them, what it meant in the life of that organization, was that at 9 a.m. on Monday morning, when the rest of the people from that firm came to work, they had a fully operational system with 7 years of historical data that had been transformed and updated over the course of that weekend. They didn't have to straddle two systems anymore. Those guys, those superheroes, had made this real and core to work from 9 a.m. on Monday going forward. A second strategy that we've got in getting to the point of effective use is called embedded champions. This is about identifying particular people in teams, groups, departments, giving them extra training, extra support, so that they can become the pivot point in that team or group to make the use of this tool a normal and natural way of doing stuff. An engineering firm was introducing Skype for Business for calling and for meetings, which would enable them to work across their own organizational distributed offices but also work with partners and suppliers and customers without having to do a whole lot of travel. In other words, it was really important that it was done properly and that it became a core way of working. And for this engineering firm, what they did was to nominate section buddies in the various teams and groups who were given extra training, who were given extra support to be the person on the ground that could help make it useful and productive. And then the fourth stage of the adoption framework is called extending effective use. You know, in many times in organizational life, given what we have available to us in Office 365, it may be that someone only requires one or two capabilities. Given the work that they do, maybe that's all that's required. On the other hand, maybe they don't realize that there are other things that they could be doing, other tools that could add value to the work that they are currently doing, ways of improving what's going on. And so the idea of this stage is to use various strategies to highlight new opportunities, exemplar stories, internal user group, training on core behaviors, training on basic IT skills. An exemplar story is an internal case study from the organization about how someone else or some other group is making use of the capabilities on offer. One of my clients runs monthly brown bag lunches, and they record these things and then put them on the intranet for anyone in the organization to come and watch. It's about an hour long. They asked me to critique these brown bag lunches, and after listening to one of them, which was on custom lists in SharePoint, there's about 50 minutes of the group from IT presenting on what is a custom list, how do you use it, how do you set it up, all that sort of stuff. Not a lot of feedback from the audience, and then they go to Q&A, and you hear someone in the audience go, "Hi, I'm Betty, I'm from facilities management, and in our group, we use a custom list. We use a custom list for all of the issues that people across the law firm have with doors not shutting or toilets not flushing or, oh, that rhymed, it wasn't supposed to. All of these things that don't work from a facilities point of view in our organization, they're in a custom list, and it means that we have visibility, we can show people what's going on, we can do delegation, we can do escalation. It's transform the way that we work." And in the recording, there's a moment of silence, and then from someone else in the audience, you hear, "Can I have one of those?" And what hadn't been able to be communicated in the 50 minutes was suddenly communicated perfectly in that exemplar story. And that's the power of an internal case study. Betty's a real person. Betty is sitting there. You can go and talk to her for more. She'll show you the custom list. And it works. Training on core behaviors is another of the strategies that we have in extending effective use. You can buy one of those, and you should. Everyone should. You can buy one of those 84-inch Surface hubs that they showed us yesterday in the keynote. I work in an office by myself, but I want one. But, you know, you could do that, and you could make use of its capabilities and OneNote and Skype for Business and all of that other stuff that's made available. But if you're not planning your meetings well, if you don't have agendas, if you don't have clarity on what happens at the end of a meeting, you've spent a whole lot of money and you haven't transformed the effectiveness of the process. You haven't enabled meetings to be a productive and effective place in organizational life. So training on core meeting behaviors. How do we write a good agenda? How do we facilitate a meeting? How do we use mind mapping to allow an explosion of ideas that stimulates creativity rather than shutting people down and saying that their ideas are not useful? We've talked about the mission of an adoption superhero. We've talked about special capability. The third thing is that adoption superheroes have fantastic gear. Shields, guns, no, none of that. I reckon there are three core special gear things that adoption superheroes have. Coffee is one of them. And the ability to take someone in the business out for a cup of coffee and have a talk about what they're doing. How do you work in your group? What's going on? What things are you finding frustrating with the tools that you have available to you? That forum over a cup of coffee is a fantastic way of understanding current life and opening the door for new opportunities. Whiteboard markers, or if you have a Surface Hub, fingers, to draw out what people are talking about. Put things up in a way that we have shared visual representation of what's going on. And being able to say, you know, this part of the process, we could eliminate this and redesign this and reimagine this given what we have available to us in Office 365. And the third special capability of an adoption superhero isn't actually a physical thing, but it's the ability to see the need beyond the words that you're hearing and how you could enable that with the capabilities that you have in Office 365. We've talked about the mission, we've talked about the special capabilities, we've talked about the fantastic gear. The fourth thing is that there's an exploitable weakness in a superhero. And there's an exploitable weakness in an adoption superhero as well. Compassion for friends. If we think about the other superheroes, who has this as an exploitable weakness? Anyone? Luke Skywalker, yep. Anyone else? Superman? Captain America, yep. So I had Captain America and Thor, and Captain America's not going to kill the Winter Soldier because he was his best friend, although it would solve a lot of problems if he just did. Unwillingness to kill. Superman? Batman. Ding! Love of the girl. Superman? Spider-Man? Iron Man? Spider-Man? Yeah. All of them? Apart from Black Widow. Chemical substance? Kryptonite, right? Stick some kryptonite in a room with Superman, everything goes bad. So I reckon that the exploitable weakness of the adoption superhero is vendor indifference, because the adoption superhero is always going to say the needs of the person, the needs of the process, the needs of the business always comes before the product. And yes, we have particular products available to us, and maybe it's Office 365, but if the need of the person, the process or the business requires something different, I am always going to put that ahead of the use of the product. And it's important to understand this, because if you embrace the role of being an adoption superhero with this weakness, your motives will be questioned by those that are loyal to a vendor or a product first and foremost. Wasn't kind of supposed to end on a down note, you know what I mean? I think it's a good thing. I think it's good to acknowledge to the people that you're working with that I'm actually more interested in how to help you. And yes, I have some product that can help, but it takes second, it plays second fiddle to what we're doing here. We've talked about what's happening with Office 365. We've talked about what needs to happen. Let's now bring this together with becoming an adoption superhero. So step one, understand your mission. Driving effective use of Office 365 across your organization. Step two, or number two, develop the capability. And I've talked about the adoption framework that you can make use of. I have written a book on user adoption strategies, which I'm about halfway through moving to an ebook, so that should be available sometime soon, so you don't have to buy it in paperback if you want to put it on some device. Say again? Yeah, but you should understand it takes quite a bit of work to move it across. Far too much. So develop the capability, an adoption framework, a series of strategies. They're all opportunities. What you need to do is think about what works in your organization. Because as I say in this book and in the other workshops that I run, don't use all of these strategies, but use some of them to get your people to the point of effective use. Assemble the gear. Coffee, whiteboard markers, the ability to see the need behind the words and acknowledge the weakness that could be exploited in your work. Now, it would be great if you can evaluate all of the sessions that you're going to this week. I'm more than happy for any of you to win the Xbox S1, but personally for myself, the Surface Pro 4, that's for me, okay? But the Xbox, you're more than welcome to that. You just need to fill in your evaluations. Those are my details, and we have time for Q&A. Now, there are 10 gifts to give away. They've got numbers on them. So once you've asked a question and I've answered it, I'll ask you what number you want, and depending on what number you get, you can have one of the gifts. So we've got whiteboard markers. We've got a $20 coffee club gift voucher, you know, superhero gear. We've got chemical substances called chocolate. We've got a Batman mug. Isn't that awesome? We've got Captain America who talks.
Falcon, time to fly.
And we've got playing cards. All right, and there's some books. Okay, so thanks very much for coming. Q&A. I'm more than happy to take the gifts home, you know. Yes. Sure. Okay, so the question is, what order do you go for tools to be introduced? So I think definitely moving to Exchange Online and Office Productivity Services, Office Productivity Suite is good. Ground stakes, important to do. Interestingly, I would take a different view and say, in looking at the business needs, what you look at is are the scenarios of how people work today. So in the seventh book that I wrote, can't quite believe I did this, but in the seventh book, I talk about 8 core scenarios for using Office 365, the way that we manage meetings, the way that we hold discussions, the way we run projects, and so on and so forth. And that provides a framework for then going out and talking to people in the business. And I think what you're looking for first is a receptive business group, team, or unit who will say, come and work with us. Come and help us be more productive and effective, aligned with some of these scenarios that rely on some tools, and go from there. So number 1 through 10, 6. I don't quite know how you did that, but this is number 6. Well done. Awesome. Question here.
How do you deal with it when, like, last year we started about the top-down bias? How do you deal with it when the top-down things are out of order? If any of you use that reporting system, when I will fire you, you take your pen and paper, that's how we do things, that's how we've always done things.
Okay. So the question is, if you have top-down antagonism, what do you do? Yeah? There's a few ways of answering, one of which the gentleman down the front has said, get a job somewhere else, which is entirely correct. I think one of the ways of dealing with that is to go into skunk works mode and just do things under the radar and look at the impacts that it gets, and then if your leadership changes, you have an opportunity to go back and say, look, here's something that we could do. A second option that you've got is to look at the changes that are going on in the organizational environment, because yes, your firm might have done things like that for a long time, but life is changing, and demands and requirements on organizational life is changing. And if you're able to assemble a perspective of the world that talks about what's going on, you might be able to work with that executive over 6, 12, 18 months to start morphing or pivoting their point of view. One of the firms that's actually written up in this book, Landcare Research, down in Christchurch, they had an HR person in charge of that HR group who was very reticent about being involved in SharePoint. And while the rest of the firm had embraced SharePoint and was using it pretty well, this group was not. They got a new manager at some point. I don't think it was about SharePoint. I don't think Captain America took them out or anything. But when the new person came in, they were very open to the use of it. And there's a case study in the book around the outcome that happened as a result of that. Okay, so what's your number? Not six. Here you go, one Batman glass. Hope I don't break a leg, huh? Thank you. Question there. Okay, so the question is, we're migrating from Google Apps to Office 365, how long do we run both in parallel before shutting the old one off? Yep. I won't give you a cheeky answer. How did you read my mind? That's a special capability. So there will be some core things that are required from a Google Apps perspective that need to be shifted across to 365, so calendar, some mail, tasks, any of those things. And then I'd be looking at the groups that are using Google Apps for other things, co-authoring of documents, spreadsheets, sites, and so on, and then working with them, perhaps using a bulk loading party, like the high security firm did that I talked about, and getting that data across on a team-by-team basis. Telecom New Zealand used that some years ago in their migration from SharePoint 2007, I think, to 2010, that over an 18-month period, I think this is right, they went team by team and rolled out the new capabilities for them. So as short as possible, but there is some work that will need to be done in order to get there. So what number were you after? Let's go with four. Thor or four? How about some chemical substance called chocolate? Well done. Hope this microphone doesn't blow up. Any other questions? Right, over there in the back. Okay, so why do you think there is a gap between senior leaders and managers? Okay. So in your discussions with people at that second level, what's the reaction or response that you get when you're talking about what's possible, why things are moving? Okay. Okay. So I'd be looking for... I think you need to go back to your senior leaders and coach them, mentor them on what they need to give to that second level in order to set the context for that. And then I think you do very much go in with the perspective of this is the first engagement, let's now talk about what's coming, what's happening, here's what the senior leaders have said, perhaps have a video. If you can bring some others from the organisation that are using those capabilities and use them as a case study internally, an exemplar story, that's very useful. The warehouse here in New Zealand have recently transitioned to Office 365, and one of the things that they've done is introduce OneNote for managing meetings and getting rid of a whole lot of paper. And so one of their people is called Mike, and he used to carry around a great big binder of stuff to all of the meetings that he went to on a weekly basis. He now carries around probably a Surface Pro 4, like every good person should, with OneNote on it. And he will turn up to internal meetings and talk about the transformation that this has meant for him, and other people are beginning to say, I'm interested in that. That would be really useful to me as well. So I think you've got a variety of things that you have to do, working with your executives to get that message clear, going out to your middle layer to talk, to engage, to show what's possible, but also bringing in your early advocates to demonstrate what's happening. Okay, no idea what the time is. Oh, it's 3 minutes too. So we've got whiteboard markers, coffee, or cards. Which would you like? Awesome. Okay, everyone should have whiteboard markers. Okay, got time for one or two other questions? Aaron. So the question is, if cost is a factor, what strategies have you got to get around the use of Office 365? You will be. No, that's a line from Gandalf, isn't it? Yoda. I think ultimately you will need to build the case for where you're at today, where you're wanting to go in the future, and where Office 365 makes a difference. And if you have people that don't require the E5 plan, which is really expensive, but could just use E1, and you've got some mix of E3 in there, that might be some way of balancing out the cost issue that you have. I think you'd also be looking at internal infrastructure and thinking of what things you could decommission, what other costs you could turn off. But ultimately, you might come to the conclusion that Office 365 is more expensive for your firm, and then you have to do some creative analysis to figure out how you justify that, or you use that as a point of saying, let's just keep doing what we've always done. This or a book? The playing cards, awesome. Okay, no one's up for coffee. All right, one more question. Sir.
So, my problem is that I've got 12 heroes. Everybody wants to be that man. I'm not going to be Spider-Man, but is there any other products that can be completely independent? Or is there any products where you have to really work together? Because everybody wants to go and do a check, I'm quite happy to do a check one. I know there's a bit of a crossover.
Okay, so the question is that we have a group of IT professionals, we want to move to Office 365, but everyone wants to do Exchange Online or SharePoint, and no one wants to deal with the other things in the suite. Is that a fair way of saying it? So the question is, are there things that we could push out without talking to each other? Yeah, okay. I think you need some coffee. There we go, that would be a good way of stimulating some interaction between your group. Sure.
So if you've got all the money and all the resources and all the talent from outside, you go in one area, there must be other areas that I can tackle while there.
So I would be going out looking at some particular groups for whom Exchange and SharePoint isn't going to cut it, and trying to understand what's going to make the biggest difference for them. And then if you do not have resource internally that can deal with we want to use Planner, we need to use Delve, we really need to learn how to use OneNote appropriately in our group, then you're either saying, how do we bring other people into our group to deal with these other workloads, or how do I identify people out in the world who can come and help us with this? So I think that It's a bit of a change in mindset for the IT group, because previously you did have an Exchange stack, a SharePoint stack, a Link stack, but with Office 365 you've now got cross-product, cross-workload opportunities that require coordination across all of those things, and it's about you identifying the needs and opportunities that are in the group in your organization and how to bring a mix of those to play. It's quite a change. Okay, so it's after 10 o'clock, one by 1 minute. So thanks very much for being here. Those of you that won books, go for that. Go and fill in your registration, your evaluation to win the Xbox One. Thank you. And have a great rest of Ignite.